You can see from all of the candles here tonight that Jesus wants to light up this place. And I want to pray for all of you a prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesians. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believe, according to the working of his great might, which he accomplished in Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him sit at his right hand in the heavenly places. Amen. So the title for tonight's talk is Knowing is Believing. And when I say knowing, I'm not talking about intellectual knowledge. I'm not talking about mere assent of our minds, of our intellects. But I'm talking about it in the way that Paul talked about it here in this prayer for the Ephesians, and in the way that he often refers to knowledge in all of his letters. So knowledge meaning experience. Knowledge referring to experiential knowledge. Like, hey, did you see that movie, that new movie that's out? Or hey, did you hear that new song? Have you met so-and-so? So when we talk like that, we're talking about an experience that we've had, right? We've seen something, we've heard something, we've met somebody. Well, that's what happened to Paul and Jesus, and that's what Jesus wants for all of us, is to meet him, to know him, to see him, to hear him. In the same way that his disciples did? Yeah. Even though we don't get to walk and talk with Jesus the way they did, Jesus is still wanting us to know him in a personal way, in an intimate way, through the power of the Holy Spirit, which acts, which works in the sacraments, in the word, in song, in communion, in many different ways. But in these ways in particular, in an ordinary way, you could say, so that we too, just like his first disciples, can know him, can experience him. Through faith, of course, and through our inner senses, with our eyes, the eyes of our hearts, as Paul alluded to here in this prayer tonight, through our inner ear, like the voice of conscience, where God speaks to us. So tonight I'm going to try to make this connection for you. Last month, Father Steve reminded us that faith is a response to God's revelation. And I have a number from the Catechism of the Catholic Church here that I'll read. Number 26, faith is man's response to God, who reveals himself and gives himself to man, at the same time bringing man a superabundant light as he searches for the ultimate meaning of his life. So we couldn't have known God, we couldn't believe in God, unless he first revealed himself to us. And in a very basic way, God reveals his glory and his beauty to us in nature. I'm sure many of you have had an experience of God in nature, in the mountains, or at the ocean, or in the forest, or maybe even in your backyard every day, God speaks to you through nature, his beauty, his glory, his majesty. So we can come to know that there is a creator who is all-powerful, who's beautiful, who's amazing, who's incredibly creative. That we can know with reason. But we could not have known that God is a trinity of persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That he had to reveal to us. And that's precisely what he did when he sent his Son into the world for our sakes, for us men and for our salvation. He came down from heaven. That's what we pray every Sunday in the Creed. That's what we believe. But we believe it because God first revealed it to us. And he revealed it to our brothers and sisters 2,000 years ago, but he continues to reveal himself to us in his church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's my emphasis here tonight, that it is the Holy Spirit's role, it's his job, to make God's presence felt, experienced. Because if I were to ask you, and you know, I know you're a very fervent bunch, but there's always somebody out there who perhaps hasn't been able to say with conviction, oh yeah, I have felt God's love for me. I believe deeply in my heart that God loves me just for who I am. Or maybe you believe it, but you wish it were stronger. Well, I wish it were stronger too in me. So we can always grow in this faith. And the more we know, the more we experience, the stronger will our faith be. The more firmly will we hope and trust in the Lord, the more we experience him and his providence, his care, his mercy. And the more we'll love him, the more passionately we'll love him as we experience his love for us and in us and with us. So I thought I would highlight here another couple of numbers from the catechism. Number 50. As I said, by natural reason, man can know God with certainty on the basis of his works. But there is another order of knowledge which man cannot possibly arrive at by his own powers, the order of divine revelation. That's what we just said. Through an utterly free decision, God has revealed himself and given himself to man. This he does by revealing the mystery, his plan of loving goodness, formed from all eternity in Christ for the benefit of all of us. God has fully revealed this plan by sending us his beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we forget about the Holy Spirit because he's a spirit and he didn't become a man. He didn't walk around, but he did come down. And you have all prayed here in this archdiocese very fervently for a new Pentecost. I've been very impressed with this archdiocese. As I mentioned, I just arrived about 7 months ago. And Archbishop Vigneron and all of your priests here and all of you prayed for this new Pentecost. What an awesome intention. And then the Archbishop published his apostolic exhortation, Unleash the Gospel. So you've also prayed for the gospel, the good news, to be released and unleashed in a new way, in a more powerful way. And that's the role of the Holy Spirit, who came down as tongues of fire in a rushing wind, but also a whispering voice to you and to me. When we were baptized, when we were confirmed, we've all received the Holy Spirit. And so sometimes we just need to stir it up a little bit. A friend of mine likes to use the example of making chocolate milk. How many of you have ever made chocolate milk for yourself? with the mix, right? So you get your cup of milk, right? Your glass of milk, and then you put the mix in, but unless you stir it up, that mix just sits on the bottom of the glass, right? You don't really have chocolate milk yet, do you? But you take your spoon and you stir it up, and now you got chocolate milk. So sometimes we just need to stir up the spirit in us so that those gifts can be unleashed in our lives, so that those gifts can be used for the good of the church, so that we ourselves can come to experience God in a more personal way. That's what we're praying for here tonight. Here's another number for you, in case you don't believe me yet. This is number 152 from the Catechism. One cannot believe in Jesus Christ without sharing in his Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who reveals to men who Jesus is. For no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit, who searches everything, even the depths of God. No one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Only God knows God completely. We believe in the Holy Spirit because he is God. Okay. And then finally, in number 737, the Spirit manifests the risen Lord to his disciples, recalls his word to them, and opens their minds the understanding of his death and resurrection. He makes present the mystery of Christ supremely in the Eucharist, in order to reconcile them, to bring them into communion with God, that they may bear much fruit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, joy, peace, generosity, chastity, self-control. Who doesn't want more of that? And so we pray tonight in a special way for the Holy Spirit to help us encounter the Lord, to experience him. And he can manifest himself in many different ways. You might hear a word tonight. You might, in your interior, with your inner voice, hear the Lord speak to you. A word of consolation, of affirmation, of blessing. You might feel some tingling in your hands or in your heart or in your head or who knows where. Or you might feel warmth as that blessed sacrament passes by you or as you're kneeling in silence tonight. That's the Holy Spirit. That's God letting you know that he's here, that he's with you, that he loves you, that he cares about you, that he hears you, that he understands you. So he's attuned to us. The Lord Jesus right here wants you to know that he is attuned to you. So he sees you, he hears you, he understands you, he cares about you. He wants you to know him. He wants you to know him. Isn't that awesome? This is the week of Christ the King, the last week of ordinary time. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, wants you to know him. He's called you by name. He knows you and loves you. And I could stand up here and say that over and over again all night long. But unless the Holy Spirit touches your heart and communicates this truth to your spirit, to your heart, it's not going to transform your life. It's not going to set you free from your fears and from your sins and from your doubts and but boy, once you have that experience and the more you have it, the freer you become, the more powerful in Christ you become, the more you become transformed into love, the more you mature in love and wisdom, the brighter you shine, the more radiantly you reflect the goodness and the truth and the beauty of God, the more you become all that God created you to be. The more you walk with him in his presence, aware of his presence and his love. Who doesn't want that, right? And that's what he wants for all of us. sometimes we're just not aware of that. We're not making the connections. Even his disciples, after the resurrection, had a hard time with this. Think about the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Do you remember this story? It's after the resurrection, and there are these two disciples walking from Jerusalem to this town of Emmaus, about 7 miles away. And as they're walking along, Jesus comes up and starts walking with them. But they don't recognize him. Isn't this interesting to note? They don't recognize him with their own eyes. But Jesus, as they're walking along, opens their minds to the scriptures. He explains the scriptures to them. Everything that referred to him and everything that he went through during his passion, death, and resurrection. And then as they approach their house, Jesus makes like he's going to keep on going. And they convince him to stay. So he sits down with them. And then he breaks the bread. And when he broke the bread, Luke says that their eyes were opened. But what eyes do you think we're talking about here? Their eyes were opened the whole time, right? As they walked along. But it was the eyes of their hearts that were opened. And as they reflected on how Jesus had explained to them the scriptures, they realized our hearts were burning. That was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was reminding them of this truth, and he was confirming for them this experience of the risen Lord. And they couldn't help themselves. They had to turn around and go all the way back to Jerusalem and tell the others what had happened to them and how he had revealed himself through the breaking of the bread. Jesus wants all of us here tonight to have the same kind of experience of his living presence, his loving presence. He wants to set our hearts on fire. He wants to bless us. He wants to heal us. Whatever we need healing for, especially healing in our hearts, because God knows how you may be hurting in your heart. He wants to bring his light into the darkness. He wants to bring healing. He wants to bring forgiveness and reconciliation to relationships, especially the relationship with him. So again, that's a little commercial for confession. If you haven't been to confession in a while, good time to go. Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI spoke about this very topic of knowing the Lord back in 2010. He went to Fatima, and I know this year we celebrate the 100th anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima and her apparitions there and the great miracle of the sun. But Benedict went there for the 10th anniversary of the beatification of two of the three shepherd children, Jacinta and Francisco. And he said this to the pilgrims in his homily. Brothers and sisters, in listening to these innocent and profound mystical confidences of the shepherd children, one might look at them with a touch of envy for what they were able to see, or with the disappointed resignation of someone who was not so fortunate, yet still demands to see. To such persons, the Pope says, as does Jesus, quote, is not this the reason you are wrong? That you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God, unquote, from Mark 12:24. The Pope continues, the scriptures invite us to believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. But God, who is more deeply present to me than I am to myself, That's referencing St. Augustine, his Confessions. So God, who is more deeply present to me than I am to myself, has the power to come to us, particularly through our inner senses, so that the soul can receive the gentle touch of a reality which is beyond the senses, and which enables us to reach what is not accessible or visible to the senses. For this to happen, we must cultivate an interior watchfulness, an interior silence of the heart, which, for most of the time, we do not possess on account of the powerful pressure exerted by outside realities and the images and concerns which fill our soul. Yes! Exclamation point. God can come to us and show himself to the eyes of our heart. So there you go. Pope Emeritus, Benedict XVI, trying to point out to us that those first disciples really have nothing on us. The shepherd children at Fatima have nothing on us. When it comes to the chance, the opportunity to know the Lord, to experience the Lord for ourselves in a personal way, in an intimate way, in a powerful way. So we have these inner eyes, we have these inner ears. We can even imagine what things smell like or feel like, right? And the Holy Spirit can use our imagination. The Holy Spirit can use our memory to call to mind the blessings of God. That's why it's so important to remember the works of the Lord. So to use our memory in a godly way, we can pray for that. In fact, let's pray for it tonight. You know, Lord, help us to remember your works, how you have blessed us, how you have made your presence felt in the past. And then to use our imaginations. You know, we often are aware of how the enemy can use our imaginations in a negative way. Like how to get revenge, you know. For example. Right? We think and we plan and we imagine something somehow, some way, to get back at that somebody, you know, that did that thing. And well, why not let the Holy Spirit take possession of our imaginations? I don't think Jesus would object, right, Lord? Of course not. Let's turn over our imaginations to the Holy Spirit. God wants to use them to make his presence seen in our interior so we can contemplate his beauty, his glory, his majesty in such a way, as Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI was saying, goes beyond the senses. In closing tonight, I just want to read briefly here from John chapter 10. Well, before I do that, how about John chapter 1, the very beginning of John's gospel? Because all throughout John's gospel, we hear about the light. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness has not overcome it. And we can see it here tonight with all of this beautiful light. How the Lord shines in the darkness. how he shines in this world. And he wants each and every one of us to be that light. He told us that you are the light of the world. So he has shared this light with us. And that light, once again, it's the Holy Spirit. He has shared his very light and life with us, his Holy Spirit. So we share in this divine nature. We are new creatures. As we sang in that beautiful song right here just a moment ago, Jesus, you make all things new. So he has made us new creations. Even though we were made in God's image and likeness, and that image and likeness got distorted because of sin, he has not only restored us, but he has redeemed us and made something altogether new and better. Because now we share in his light and life and power and glory. So he doesn't want us to worry. Doesn't want us to worry about what's going to happen or about what is happening. As chaotic or as painful, as difficult as it might be right now or in the future. He doesn't want us to worry. I was thinking about this morning. If we walk in this new state of grace that we've all received, we walk in a state of provision. A state of provision, meaning God provides for us. He provides us with light in the darkness. He provides us with life after death. He provides us with mercy and forgiveness after sin. And not just one time, but over and over again. It's inexhaustible. His love is inexhaustible. It's eternal. It's infinite. I don't know how else to say it. But he wants us to walk in this truth. He wants us to walk in the light, to become light. We just celebrated the beatification of Solanus Casey, one of Detroit's very own, although he was born in Wisconsin. I just got to say it because I'm from Wisconsin, so I'm claiming him too. But what was it about Father Solanus? He radiated the love of God. And people were drawn to that. What was it about John Paul II? He radiated the love of God and the light of God. What was it about Mother Teresa? She radiated the love of God and the light of God. That's the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And it flowed through them. Like Jesus said, for those who believe in me, the Holy Spirit will flow out of them like living water. Living water. What's living water? It's the Holy Spirit that flows from you and gives life, divine life, to those people that you love. And it's just like the flame of a candle, right? When you light one wick with one candle, this candle doesn't lose any of its light, does it? It doesn't diminish in any way, does it, as you share it? It's the Holy Spirit. Can't exhaust him. He's God. So, I will close with that and just encourage all of you tonight to keep asking, Lord, I want more of you. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Amen.